Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, the President of the United States today sends troops to fight in distant lands for long periods. He enters into binding agreements with foreign powers and takes other extraordinary actions, all without prior approval from Congress. And then presidential candidates confidently promise to take dramatic and costly actions unilaterally on the same day that they take office. Well, we've come to expect, in fact, even demand such power plays from our presidents. So it's fair to ask, what explains the enormous growth of presidential power from its lowly state in the late 19th century to the imperial presidency of today? Well, earlier this month, North Carolina's 93-year-old presidential historian William Luchtenberg gave us a response to this question in the form of his latest book, The American President, From Teddy Roosevelt to Bill Clinton. That book follows the expansion of presidential power from the 20th century, showing how it grew in periods of reform to respond to domestic challenges and during the two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, and the War on Terror. Reviewing the new book in The American Scholar, Michael Sherry writes that Luchtenberg is, quote, perhaps today's greatest presidential historian, and not of the presidency as some insular realm, but as it intersected with national life, which makes this book also a history of the nation in the 20th century, unquote. And filmmaker Ken Burns, himself a great storyteller, explains Luchtenberg's gift better than I can. He says, quote, this is a riveting narrative written by someone with a deep knowledge of the presence and our complicated country. The result here is a fast-paced, dramatic, literary achievement that will be around and used for centuries, unquote. Well, critics of Barack Obama's use of executive agreements to bypass Congress on the Iran nuclear deal and last week's Paris climate deals, they can blame Teddy Roosevelt. When the Senate refused to ratify PAC in 1905 with Santo Domingo, Roosevelt simply made an executive agreement with the same terms. Later, he explained, quote, the Constitution did not explicitly give me power to bring about the necessary agreement with Santo Domingo, but the Constitution did not forbid my doing what I did. Well, both Woodrow Wilson during the First World War and Franklin Roosevelt during the Second took extraordinary actions as commander and chief that resulted in much increased power for that office. However, both of them got congressional authority before committing troops in those wars. But Luchtenberg writes, after Truman's unilateral action in Korea, the power vested in Congress alone to declare war became almost a relic. Well, there are more examples, and important as an understanding of the origins of increased presidential power was to me the book's exploration of each president's background, character, and family kept me turning the pages, and at the end made me believe that I've gotten to know each one of them just like a close friend. This is D.G. Martin.